sort of quietly comes onto the scene. But this is what has affected the history of the world now for over 4 millennia. God chose Abram out of nowhere. All we know about Abram up to this point, he's in the list of the people that so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot. Abram, all we know is that he was one of Terah's sons, that his wife was childless. That's all we know. Now, if you're following the way Genesis is taking us, you know that just before that genealogy, which we probably didn't read, we have the story of Babel. Now, if we're listening closely, no, he hasn't done that, has he? He has moved us through. What year is this? What's the date? 2001?
Nine,
right. So we should have read year one, that's right. Anyway, this is the beginning of salvation history. Up to then, there's been Adam's sin and God's promise, and then the sin of Lamech and everybody else. And every time there's a sin, God provides a remedy. Then we come to this universal sin. All these nations get together to form a world government. And they don't have to worry about God anymore. We are going to build a tower to heaven and we're going to be saved. And God has to come down and look at it. And he scatters them. And then so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so. So this sort of, it ends as one of the commentators, sort of on a screaming note, disappears into the distance. And there is no remedy. And then out of nowhere, and God said to Abram, burst in like that. And what does he say? Go, lech, go from your house, your father's house, to a land, your land, oh, they didn't translate this very well. They go from your land and your clan and your father's house to a place I'll show you. He doesn't know where he's going. Remember how the letter to the Hebrew picks that up. Huh? Off he goes. This is the turning point of world history. The other turning point is the act of love on the cross. God chose somebody. God chose somebody. And this choice is still going on. And they come to the land, and God promises it. What land? Get on the plane, go over there today if you want. That land. This is our history. And we live in the sky someplace, you know. This is concrete stuff. God chose a human being and worked with him. Can you imagine the heroicity, the depth of this man's faith? Generations have lived from it. Powerful enough for him to take not only the son that he loved, but the only tangible promise he had of God's promises. I'll make of you a great nation, kill your son. Your people will live on this land, kill your son. So not only is it tearing on his heart, his only son, in his old age, the only child he begot. And now, kill him. Offer him up as a sacrifice to me. Now we know, because the first line of that chapter 22 tells us, God put Abram to the test. So we know there's a test going on. But Abram doesn't. And God said to Abram, take Isaac, your only begotten, the son whom you love, and offer him in a sacrifice to a place I will show, on a place I will show you. That's all he knows. And so, And then the land. I promise you this land. I am God. I run the world. I promise you this land. And you know, there were times when his faith faltered. God approached him again and said, I will make your descendants numerous. You will have a son. And Abram says, yeah, I understand, of course. You mean the son of my foreman. That was the custom of the day. If a man didn't have any sons, his property went over to this foreman. And Abram there is trying to take it easy on God. I mean, I know you promised, Lord, but, you know, it's okay. We'll just take Eleazar's son. That'll be fine. And God got angry. Not that one. I told you I was going to give you one. And he believed God. And it was credited to him as justice. The theme song of Paul for all of our access to the work of redemption. Through faith. Huh? We are saved by grace through faith. So we're entering now, see, into this period of enormous significance. Let's listen to it in our hearts and say, today, say, Lord, I'm not Abram, but you've spoken to me, you've called me, you've blessed me in ways that you never blessed Abram. I receive the body and blood of your son every day. I know where I'm. Not just to a place you'll show me here, but I'm going to be with you forever. And I know that. And then you turn the page to the gospel. And here is the very Son of God himself giving us very simple, very direct, practical advice. If you want to get there, stop judging. Now you look into your heart. We're judging 24 hours a day. Everybody we judge. It's all inside for the most part. Why are we doing that? What's wrong with us? Where's the generosity, the magnanimity, the love? There's something wrong with us. Imagine how Our Lady looked on everybody. With love, with interest, with peace. The very Son of God. And, you know, Jesus read everybody's heart as he walked along. And saw in every one of them a candidate for salvation. Mercy. And he tells us, the way you judge is the way you're going to be judged. So get smart. You know. Then he even tells us a little parable. How can you say, let me straighten you out a little bit. I mean, it isn't much, but I'd just like to straighten you out. You know, let me take the splinter out of your eye. Jesus says, you know, you got a log in your own. How kind. Right? How kind to tell us that. 2 minutes reflection, we would have figured that out ourselves. Hope you don't bother with that 2 minutes reflection. We're so busy judging everybody. It's an instinct, isn't it? The other day I caught myself. I was so embarrassed. I thought, oh my Lord. So I repented. I was in a restaurant. I saw two people and I judged them. Before I knew, it was instinct, you know. They're this kind of a person. And the Holy Spirit said, no, they're not. And I want you to stop that. So I repented for the rest of my lunch there. You know. But we do it all the time. The only people who don't do it are people who are really humble. And therefore, relying totally on God, and don't have to worry about, you know, where do I fit in the pecking order? I don't care. I have God for my Father. So we're starting, of course we're in chapter 7 of Matthew now, still in the Sermon on the Mount. But this other text quietly slips in. And we don't realize, you know, that that text has been the foundational text now for nearly four millennia. Abraham probably lived about 1700 BC. Just think of that. And the Lord will talk to you today. You might be in a restaurant sitting there and you judge. I don't know what I was going to say. Look what you just did. Or he's going to say, I made promises to you. Don't forget them. I made promises to you. Don't forget them.